You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of A Midlife Less Ordinary. My name's Wayne and my little mate Trev is here to say hello. Hello, Trev.
Shebang, shebang.
And how are you this week?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm kind of cruising, you know, kind of not like
cruising for a bruising. That's what I'd say.
I'm always cruising for that.
You are.
Always cruising for that.
I know we're going to have people saying, Trev, that we had our Halloween special last week. And this episode's come out on Halloween. No, it wasn't. I knew what I was doing.
We didn't, did we? I wanted to. That's what I thought.
I wanted to give people a week to feel the atmosphere of Halloween.
A week of spookiness, of kind of, yeah, because to be honest, it is celebrated virtually all of October, isn't it, really?
People get really into it. You know,
whole thing.
So that's what I thought. Whatever anyone says, I did not mess up and not realise that the 24th of October wasn't the last Halloween.
The thing is, if we would have done it the other way, it would have only been one day of Halloween.
Yeah, that's right.
It comes out Sunday.
You dig me out. Yeah, you dig me out.
I don't mind digging you out. Thank because you. I'll dig you back in at some point.
You will.
That'd be all right.
You will. So I'm going to take that and move on. There's something about Halloween that people don't like and something in movies that people don't like, Trev, is clowns. Mm-hmm. Clowns,
which we are definitely a pair of.
We definitely are. And I'm going to add a bit of science to this now.
Really?
I really am. Yeah, I've got a serious questionnaire for you, a psychological test. There's no right or wrong answers here. You've just got to give me the answers. I'm going to do this live. So we need to get through it, you know, relatively quickly.
Like a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
About clowns.
It is, yeah. And we're going to find out what kind of clown you are, basically. I'm sure everyone's been dying to find out. So
I think they probably have.
So I've done a little bit of music for this. So, you know, just to get everyone in the mood. Not that kind of mood, before you say.
I like this. I can feel what kind of clown I am already, to be honest.
I'm going to leave
that
playing.
For some reason, it reminds me of the... Have you ever seen the Simpsons episode where he goes to clown college?
Yes, I have.
It's one of the best ones ever because at one point he's driving to work, there's a big advert, a billboard, and there's like the advert for Clown College. He's like, that didn't affect me at all. I've got no effect for that. And then later on, he kind of sculpts his mashed potato like in the Close Encounters.
That's right. Yeah,
you know, I watched Close Encounters again the other day and it reminded me of that. And that music is exactly the same as the one he has to go on the little trike in it.
Yes.
Exactly the same. So, I think it's the mafia, isn't it?
That's right.
I think it's the same episode with the speed holes where they go to shoot him and they hit his car. Or it's Flanders. They hit Flanders' car. He goes, oh, nice speed holes. Love it.
Well, thanks for Nick. You're showing my production. You're basically saying my production skills are great because I've chosen the right music, which is fantastic.
Which is good, exactly.
And I'm available for all types of production purposes. Thank you, everyone.
Audio production.
I'm not whoring myself out. My first question to you would be, it's multiple choice, so I'll just run through it quick, Trev. So basically, do you like kids? Is it yes, no, I tolerate them, or they taste all right?
I'm really good with kids, but I wouldn't want any of my own, so...
I tolerate them.
No.
I tolerate them.
I tolerate them, yeah, okay.
I could say, I think that was fair to say. What's your favourite balloon animal? Is it a dog, an octopus, a snake, or a Pikachu?
I'd say octopus because it's so complex.
Oh, I like to, you know. Finish the sentence. These are the potential answers, Trev. My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun. Or my anus is bleeding. My little pony, or my life is sad. It should be my anus.
Number one. No, it's not.
My anaconda don't want one unless you got buns on. Okay.
What's that from? That's from like...
I recognise it from somewhere.
Bun, huns.
Oh,
yeah.
pick a celebrity from the Hollywood Walk of Fame, only from these four, cool. Trevor. You can't pick like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Amy Schumer, Justin Bieber, Betty White, or Kim Possil. Possil. I don't even know who that is, but...
Amy Schumer, because I quite like... Popular opinions, a lot of people don't like her, but I quite like her.
Yeah, no, I think she's okay.
Amy Schumer, I like the film she's been in. I quite like her.
Yeah, I think you're right. Pick your non-clown job, Trev. So are you unemployed? Are you a businessman or woman? A teacher or a murderer?
Murderer.
Christ. okay. How many siblings do you have? I know the answer to this. I might as well just put it mine. I say one.
Got him. Yep.
Okay. What's your favourite colour? Is it all
what's
of...
your favourite colour, baby? Living Colour. What a great band they were, weren't they? Living Colour.
You had a link to
what them. A brilliant band. Brilliant band.
So out of these, Trev, there's quite a few for this. All of them. Blue or green, yellow, purple or red, black or white, orange or pink.
Black and white.
Black or white it is, yeah.
Oh, black or white, so one or the other.
Well, no, you, that is one choice, but...
That's it then.
Black or
that's
white. It. Yeah,
black
yeah. Of course
black or white.
Be. Yeah, sorry, I should have got that. Yeah. What's your favourite dessert? And it's not Sahara. I don't want to hear Sahara or some other desert that I don't know the name of. So is it cake, pie, cookies, ice cream, cupcakes, or none?
Jesus, that's really hard. I like a banana split. So cookies, ice cream. No, I like cake. And I do. I like it all, actually. I like cake as well.
What's your favourite? Cake?
Oh, little bit of khaki, yes.
Khaki. Not khaki. Not a Brazilian football player.
No, no. That's Cafu. That's Kaká.
All right.
Cafu.
Close enough.
Decaf. He should have been a Brazilian footballer. Decaf.
Oh, my God. I've got the answer here, Trev.
Really?
I wish I had that sound effect that goes, duh, duh, duh. I should have thought about that. Oh, my God. You are evil clown, Trev. You have a dark past and are the thing of nightmares. You kill people for your own entertainment and love to get messy.
That's right. That summed me up completely. That reminds me, I want to be the one at a poltergeist under the kid's bed.
Oh, yeah, not it, because the picture of it's come up on my screen here.
Yeah, I really like Pennywise, and I thought both films of it were great, but it's overdone.
Yes.
Everybody wants
you
to
be a bit more obscure.
Jim Curry's Pennywise. Yeah. But the clown out of Poltergeist is scary as shit, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolute horror, that is. Yeah, terrible. Right. Good film. Good film, that.
One are you happy to be an evil film. Clown, Trev? Are you happy to be evil?
Ecstatic. Ecstatic, mate. Well, yeah, I didn't want to be... Yeah, exactly.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
science in motion. We've actually worked out what type of clown Trev is. I'm a bit worried. Mm. Well, I'm actually happy that we're on Zoom and not in real life doing this podcast, obviously, because of what we've discovered.
Yeah.
But I believe now, Trev, that it's that time of the week when we go over to the AMLO weekly, and I'm not going to hear it, wipe. Lots going on, Trev. I don't think we're
going to. Can I just say something before we just. I'm just looking out my window. There's a couple of guys fucking about of a car under a bonnet of a car. And I know.
Like Brian Tilsley from Coronation Street or something.
Yes. But I've never been one to fuck about with bits in cars and engines, are you?
You don't drive. So why would you'd be messing about with somebody else's car? You'd be like fiddling with their car.
But you know, some blokes and people and women love it, don't they?
No, yeah, I'm not a tinkerer either.
Do you remember what we used to call them?
Grease monkeys. Yes,
grease monkeys. Those guys that would come in our old workplace and would like buy stuff, and they'd always have ingrained grease on their hands.
Yeah.
Which was like a membership to the Grease Monkey Club, wasn't it? That's what it was. If you couldn't get the grease off your hand with Swarovski, you were a definite grease monkey.
That's right, yeah.
Definite.
You're right, the permanent grease monkeys. Yeah. It's a type of person that likes
it is.
You know, it's their escapism. It gives me a headache. I've never liked it. You know, when my dad used to say, go and fix your own car, and I'm like, no, I'd rather go and pay for it to be done. Thank you.
Run it into the ground,
smash it up, whatever. It's just don't want to know. And I still don't want to. I mean, to be honest, now you have to plug them into like some kind of NASA computer to get them done these days.
You do, don't you?
You know, you don't get little grease monkey corner shops anymore.
No, man.
You might do
no.
it in Southend, to be honest, because there's a lot of, you know, getaway cars and things, aren't there, used? But
yeah.
Sorry, people
yeah,
from
there Southend. There is a kind of garage. Yeah, there is a garage around the corner, man. And that's a Grease Mungan's hut.
It is, yeah.
You can just tell. I know. Just tell it is, you know. Like a few old rags that they've wiped their hands with.
Well, talking of old rags, the news is, I've got to bring up our friends at Insulate Brian again. Oh, well, I know I called
him again, they're loving it. I know you're going to say.
Yeah, you saw it, did you?
Yeah, I did.
It was great, wasn't it? Did you see him this
Someone's
week?
Pushed all oil in their faces.
Yeah, they had
they?
Ink in their thrown in their face. People have just had a complete... They are absolutely mental. I mean, am I allowed to say that? But they're saying... I don't know. My house is insulated, thank you. So can you stop holding me up on the M25? Because I just want to get to work. I've got insulation. Yeah. I don't need your insulation. Why can't they... Oh, just get the message. They're gluing themselves to the... The police just... I don't know. I know they're only doing what they're, you know, within the remit of what they're allowed to do. But they're just watching them with their hands. Their hand's not really stuck to the road, is it? I mean, come on. You go. Just lift their hand off. Pull their skin off. Pull their skin off.
Jesus, man. You're coming across like fucking Goering or Goebbels now, man. It's just like...
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. All you can see is queues of traffic going right up the M25. And there's some middle-aged person who's probably never worked at... I'm being really... cliched stereotype.
You are
now.
Jesus.
I know most of them say they always, and when they interview them, they always say I'm an ex-doctor or I'm an ex. They might well be, and I might be totally wrong, but
What I love about them is they've always got like trespass cagoules on.
Yes,
and they've always got a really cheap, horrible rucksack on their back.
yeah.
You know,
that's like their glue.
You wouldn't. It is. Yeah, it is. they've got really, really cheap. Horrible rucksacks on their back that would like the straps don't even last to the end of the road.
Exactly. You know? Why don't they stop? I don't know. I think they're going to get the public on board. That isn't going to happen because people just want to get
people
are stressed
off.
Out already. They need to get about their daily lives. Go and do it like. Stop like something that's not important, like the MPs getting their lunchtime allowance or something, you know?
Yeah, it's true, man.
Something that affects the people that make the decisions. I don't know. I'm only a layman in terms of this. So it's just getting on everyone's nerves.
You're a layman in terms of everything. I don't think you just say in terms of this.
Yeah, I'm not going to be laying in roads, I draw the line at that.
I honestly thought when we first spoke about Insulate Brian, it would be just like a one-episode affair and they'd just disappear.
Yeah, so did I.
But it's just still going on.
Yeah,
it's
they seem to like sort of not far from us. So I'm a bit worried that, you know, they're going to sort of
and I know I've said it before, but that cause, is it really that important? I mean,
it's all linked to the carbon emissions and everything, the environment. Yeah. And obviously it's big news at the moment. We've got this COP26 environment.
Yeah. I tell you what I was going to say to you when you're talking about very quickly, when you're talking about what the hell is this kind of thing in sport where they have non-carbon based football matches? I'm like, what is that about?
Do they plant trees?
Thing.
Did you see Coldplay are doing something, aren't they? Coldplay are having a carbon
off,
neutral.
Because they're shit.
Thanks for that.
It's all right.
We'll see that in Rolling Stone magazine next month. Yeah.
Is it?
Just shit.
Yeah, but they are, aren't they? The only way Coldplay can generate an atmosphere at their gigs is by having like a watch or a light that's like makes the crowd participate. Why? Rock and roll's enough to participate.
They're so hypocritical.
Why?
He's sitting there being interviewed the other day and he said they're touring all around the world, selling 600,000 tickets or whatever it is. Hmm. And he said he was going to do it carbon neutral. And the bloke said, how are you going to do that? And he said basically we're going to have some kind of thing where they're jumping up and down on the floor. It creates energy and then powers all the guitars and all that. And he said, we're going to plant a tree for every ticket we sell. And then he said... He said, are you still going to be taking private jets to the concerts? And he went, yes.
great.
Thanks for that. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, exactly.
Why aren't you walking to them? Walk.
Exactly. I apologise to any Coldplay fans that listen to us. I know there's a couple of guys.
They won't say anything. They're all yellow.
Very good, that. Yeah. But no, I don't get it. I really don't. It's just kind of, but, you know, it's all, oh, great. You know, we'll all fucking... wave these lights in the air to participate. You are part of the show.
Yes.
I would have thought playing decent rock music or decent music makes the crowd part of the show because they get into it. Yeah. But that's my opinion, and that ain't
well,
worth fuck all.
Well, that's, I'm sure we'll see Insulate Brian getting an attention anytime soon again. But the biggest news this week, Trevor, is probably the $150 billion spending plans of Rishi Sunak's budget that's happened this week, where basically I think it's all for you, really, because it's 87p off
it's
a bottle
all
of Prosecco.
For me. Really?
Yeah.
Does Richard Madeley know about this?
You stop him nicking it from Tesco's. But yeah, good point. Good point.
Yeah, run us through a couple of the little bits on the budget.
Yeah, so
what
basically, just like Prosecco was the big winner. So if you like Prosecco, you're in for a good shot because basically the difference, I mean, Prosecco isn't that expensive anyway. That's the idea of it. It's meant to be a poor man's champagne, isn't it? So it's Italian.
Poor woman's,
it's Italian's
really.
Sparkly wine, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, poor woman's. There's not, I don't, there's a lot of men that drink it.
I don't mind the odd one here and there.
I know you just like alcohol. I've seen you drink any old shit. Any old shit.
And that's
shit.
A drink in itself, it, any old shit.
when it comes to alcohol, you are not fussing.
No,
name
I'm not.
Me one thing
I won't
that you
drink.
Don't
nothing.
Like as alcoholic.
It's nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not one thing.
It's not.
I will drink it all. You
yeah,
give
you
me
will.
Any old liqueur
sherry.
From some obscure. Yeah, I'll drink that.
Yeah.
I'll have that.
Exactly. I've given you so much alcohol that I don't like. And you're like, yeah, I'll have that.
It's terrible when I think of it like that. You're right.
It's good. Don't get me wrong. But I've had stuff like really strong cider people have bought me. And I'm like, I like cider. It's all right. Yeah. And I'll give it to you. And I'll say, well, I thought we'd last a week. And like 2 days later, it's all gone.
Yeah, it's
all
gone,
mate.
Yeah,
all gone.
It's terrible, man. No, actually, you've just given me, like, I'm looking at myself hard in the mirror, but it won't make a difference. But that is me.
You look at yourself hard in the mirror. I've done that a few times. Just like, look at that. Looks all right.
That doesn't happen anymore. That was their memories of a black and white mirror time, man. They were.
Look at yourself limp in the
that,
mirror.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Yeah. Well, those blind gerbils with little teeth. Looking back here.
It's terrible. basically, the other news in that, Trev, is basically it's going to be judged on basically how strong, this isn't good for me, how strong the alcohol is. Beer's down 3p a pint. So I've worked out, with the beer going down 3p a pint, every time I buy 150 pints, I'm getting one free.
Which is a weekend for you.
Which is just a weekend. I get one free.
And so
it's brilliant.
You're doing it on like one of these stamp card things.
Yeah.
Like McDonald's.
Well, not literally. I'm not going to get like free, can I 3p for that pint, free bit, and then I'll go and get a free one. It's not like that.
I think we've stumbled across something here. We could have an app. We could invent an app for this.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
Yeah.
Where you log your beer in and like 150, winner, get a free one. Or feels like
well, why
a free
don't
one.
We just offer a cash prize like this morning or Good Morning Britain or whatever it's called, 100, and get Andy Peters to present it and offer
him of Diet
Coke,
Diet
caffeine,
Coke
free,
caffeine free
fame, fame and fortune. Why don't we get him to present it and we'll offer £100,000 and a free BMW i3, you know, electric.
Where are you
going
to get these prizes?
We don't need to give them away because the question will be, we'll give these things away and ask people if they can drink more than me. They're not going to be able to, are they?
No.
They'll never win anything.
True. No,
never.
You're right.
They will never win.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. That is very
true.
We
can do that.
But there's a lot of drinks I don't like. But you do like
no, all you're, yeah, but you're like that with everything. You're very compartmentalised in that way. You don't like that. I have to be. It's what I say about you and Christmas and everything. You're very fussy. Yeah. Apart from I know you like fish. I won't eat fish, but I'll eat anything.
No.
Anything else is fair game. Apart from them eggplants, I'm not too keen on them. But it's
like
a small
them,
part.
To be honest.
Saint about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's they're quite painful when it's
when you pass them and you haven't digested them.
Well, it depends.
Completely.
I'm not talking about passing it through the digestive system. No, that's another story. But it's just you were like your Guinness, you'll drink a lager.
I'll drink a lager
top with me these days.
Exactly.
But yes, I will drink any. I do like drinking. I unfortunately probably a little bit too much.
Do you do it? Is it? Well, what do you get out of it then? Did you get shit-faced or what?
Do you know what? I asked myself this question. I think it's just escapism, and I think I've got into the... It just sounds like therapy now, and I didn't really want it to go down this road. But It's just more like I just feel like I'm escaping when I'm drinking it. But although I've not got nothing to escape from, literally, really, you know.
No, you haven't, have you,
but
really?
It's just and actually I have to drink so much to actually feel anything. All I end up doing is going to sleep. That's all that happens. Yeah. I just end, and it's not healthy sleep. And I have problems with sleep anyway. So this is the serious part of it. It's not good. I literally do. I like whiskey. Whiskey's one of my favourites.
I don't like that.
So anything you get of that, I'm happy to take that.
I'm happy to take any old shit.
No, I like gin as well.
You like gin,
proves it. Yeah, I like gins. If you said to me, don't love sherry. I wouldn't go to a pub and go, could I have a sherry, please? But I mean, if somebody give me a bottle, that'd be gone in a night. That would be gone.
Don't like brandy.
Yeah, I'll drink that. That's nice. I'll drink it neat as well.
It's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier for someone to ask me what I do like. Rather than what I don't like.
You'll drink a vodka, you'll have the odd Jack Daniels. That's what I know about you.
No, I don't like Jack Daniels overly either.
No, but you've had
to be honest, at the moment, I've had them in the past. They turn me a bit stroppy and a bit violent. That's the problem. Is there any alcohol that does that to you?
I mean, to be honest, any alcohol's capable of doing it. But whiskey, I mean, even though I drink whiskey a lot, if I drink like 3/4 of a bottle of it, which I can do, it does make me a bit, it doesn't make me violent in the sense of I'm going to go, but I will argue everything, anything in the world. It doesn't matter what it is, even if I say, you're a Caucasian man. What are you trying to say? No, you're not. And I'll prove it. And I'll try and prove it. I'm not Caucasian. Yeah. I'm not.
So tell me this.
Yeah.
How much whiskey do you drink before you come on this show and give me our time?
I don't drink early in the days. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. But I don't drink during the... I don't wake up wanting a drink. But when I get started, that's why I tend to start... The problem is now I can start late. I can start as long as I know I'm going to get one. I'll start at 9 o'clock at night. But by 11, I've still done 3/4 of a bottle, you know. I mean, that's what happens.
Strangely enough, when we go out, when we do socialize and stuff, I actually drink quicker than you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we do. Yeah, pints. I'm not too quick with, because they bloat you. So actually, it's not a bad idea to drink pints in that sense. Spirits are too much
quicker.
I've become accustomed to whiskey and things. It's just your body gets used to it. But pints bloat you, don't they? So your guts expand. Yeah. I don't know the hell we're talking about budget, and then also it's therapy for me. We've got Trev's Christmas choice of drinks hamper coming on. I don't know how the hell we've got onto this from it, but the budget, so basically, if you're a drinker of very weedy drinks, you're going to do all right out of it. But then inflation's so high, it'll balance it out anyway.
Exactly.
There's a lot of spending going on. Basically, the budget was a Labour budget in a Conservative basically.
I got that feeling.
It was. It was all spend on public services. Conservatism, as we know, is a tax cuts and small state. Now we've got tax hikes and big state. So that's Labour would have been proud of that. But then a lot of people voted Labour, voted Conservative, who usually vote Labour. So that's why they're doing it, isn't it?
Like myself, to be honest. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and my voting thing changed because I was very, very Labour when I was younger. Very right on.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah, very so. Then and I felt like I was voting for the people, for the cause, when I was a Labour voter.
Citizen dealer,
citizen dealer. And then all of a sudden, I become like a homeowner and stuff and started voting for myself.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens to a lot of people, though, Trev. They say that. Yeah. They say you get more conservative as you get older. Not everyone. We're not speaking for everyone. There's plenty of people who do stick by their politics, their socialism or whatever. But they do say as people, as we evolve, as people buy their own house. My dad was like, he used to deny it. But
he was like the character from Love Thy Neighbour, your old man.
Yeah, but I remember when I used to be a kid, and I didn't really understand anything about politics. We'd be walking through the high street and some person was trying to sell him the socialist paper. I say, what's a socialist? And he didn't say, oh, it's like Labour people or something. And he said, I said, is it like you? He said, yeah, that's me. And I remember he used to drive lorries and we drove for the Southend Young Tories once. In the carnival, Southend Carnival, and they were real hoorah Henrys. It was like the Bullender.
Cheers
for Keith on driving the dirt. It was like, you want to see
Bride's Hedge Revisited.
It was like that, and it was awful. And that put me off. So I thought I was late. But as you get older, you start getting your own things. Conservatism, looking after oneself, becomes part of your makeup, and you can't help but be. I never vote. I never really vote, but I would. err on the right-hand side of centralism, really, than the other side, just because, you know, we're kind of... But and as you get older, older pensioners are totally conservative most of the time. I'm not saying everyone before anyone writes in or whatever, but most old people are conservatives.
It is strange. It does happen. I was surprised at myself because I was really a right-on brother.
Yeah, you were.
And I really was.
Yeah.
Really into it.
We used to argue about it when we used to work together about being in the unions and that.
That's it. Yeah, it did. And then all of a sudden, like, you get a bit older and you kind of look at what you've got and stuff. And we were talking very quickly. We'd finish this up on this, but we were talking, again, it is a bit of a north-south divide, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's changing.
You got to think. Yeah, but you got to think of, like, with obviously kind of looking back when we were kids and really younger, that obviously, like, Thatcher really butchered the miners, Ute trade, and everything like that, didn't she?
But I think that's not forgotten by the people that were affected. But that's
because it's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. Another generation now, and they see it differently. Yeah. And Labour, to be honest, aren't that Labour with Michael Foot or Neil Kinnock? Not being funny. Keir Starmer is as snobby as Boris Johnson, isn't he? Really?
Well, he's a sir as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. It's not really what you'd
associate. A Labour MP, a Labour leader. But then saying that,
they've had Red Corbyn, aren't they? So, and that didn't work either. So, you know, it's about finding that middle ground. Anyway, this is a midlife less ordinary does politics now. I can't believe we're getting serious.
To lighten the mood, right? You were saying about when you were in, like South End Town Centre as a kid, and you used to get kind of like some guy trying to sell you the socialist worker or something. Well, totally unrelated to politics, but where my brother and I were sort of rock guys and stuff and had long hair and ripped jeans, and we looked a bit kind of that kind of dudes.
Yeah.
The gypsies that used to roam about South End Town Centre absolutely loved my brother and I. They just, you know, they're just like, would just think, yeah, because he's a bit far out. So they always come. My mum hated them.
Pikey.
And we'd encourage them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pikeys. Yeah. But I'd encourage them to give me lucky heather. And then, because they expect something back,
oh, them
they?
Ones, yeah.
And then they'd try to curse you, wouldn't they? If you didn't give them anything back,
yeah.
And my mum, get away from him. She used to do her nut, honestly. She was so animated. But of course, I'd be like, yeah, go on, yeah, give me loads of it. I love it. I'd have it in my hair. I'd have it. And then she was like, no, get away with it. You know, thinking I was going to get run over the next couple of streets because I was cursed. You know.
I know. Funny times. We'll have to do a remembrance episode, but
yes. That'd be good.
I mean, politics, that's with politics. And the only last thing I just wanted to say about the, you know, what's going on in the world is just this booster jab campaign isn't going as well, is it? With the booking system being broken. That's what I mean. We're in this age group now where we're considered, we have to be vulnerable, which seems ridiculous. But but apparently the booking system's broken. People can't get booked in. And now we're behind all the other, where we were doing well with our rollout of the vaccines, we're kind of back up down the list now of the league tables. You know, we're not performing as well.
The thing is, and it's probably really bad of me because I should think a bit more, but I went into town today and I just don't take a mask anywhere now. No, I just sort of think it's over.
Yeah.
And like they, honestly, I got told by someone yesterday that I should have a mask on. They didn't directly say it to me, but I stepped on someone's toes somewhere and they were like, you should have a mask on. I was like, huh? What? And today I went in like somewhere and they were like, have you got a mask? I was like, no. I just think anywhere, it's done. There shouldn't be.
Even though they can't make you. The government advice was that we could not wear the mask. But and obviously individual places can make you. And what I'm finding is anywhere kind of medical, they want you to wear it. So when I go into a chemist, I can wear it. Doctors.
I totally forgot. Doctors,
they do get funny about
it. They actually give me a mask to borrow, and I was in there for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I don't like. To be honest, I don't want to wear it. It's a waste of time. It's just it's a kind of thing that makes some people feel better about it. It's proven it doesn't really make much difference. But we can open that up to discussion, I suppose. But I think that sums up most of what's going on in the weeks, Trev. So I think we'll go straight into the what people can do for more entertainment purposes with our stream of the week.
Definitely.
So, Trev, what do you reckon people should be watching this week on any kind of channel?
I've picked two old films. My first one is a movie by Mike Judge, who I'm a massive fan of. Loved, obviously, Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, I loved. Silicon Valley, loved. And his films, apart from Idiocy, which I think it's called that weren't great. And there's another one about I can't think what her name is. Another little dark girl looking, dark haired girl that was in Miley Cumas. Is it Miley Cumas?
I don't know, man. Sorry.
Cumas, yeah, it is. The one who was in Ted, was the girlfriend in Ted and was
Mila Kunis,
Mila, yeah, she was in it. And that was really good. I can't think what it's called now. That was really good. The one I've picked for this one is a movie called Office Space.
Office Space, yes.
Brilliant film. It's the film that everybody would want to do to their workplace. Yes. He just gets totally fed up and just goes in with like no shoes, doesn't want to do his overtime. It's just brilliant. And the two guys, they come up with like a scheme of earning money out of it. And there's one amazing bit where they're baning their life in their office is his photocopier. I know, obviously, we're going back years, or fax machine. We're going back years because obviously none of that kind of really exists anymore, does it? It's kind of all paperless. But they take it and trash it and kick it to hell and like mass it out of a baseball bat. And they play the theme tune like Sure Feels Good to Be a Gangster over it. It's brilliant. So if anybody hasn't seen Office Space.
Yeah, that is a good film.
Watch it. Yeah, you definitely should watch it.
Yeah, no, good recommendation, man.
Yeah.
My first recommendation, it's not on Netflix or Prime, but you can stream it on iPlayer. And I was quite surprised when I saw it previewed last week when I saw Stephen Merchant being interviewed. It's Stephen Merchant's new BBC venture called The Outlaws.
That's it. Yeah, I wasn't going to have a go at it, and you've talked me into it now. What, it just looked like I was interested because Christopher Walken's in it as well.
You got to stick with BBC. It. The first episode, trying to establish 6-7 characters in it, and it's basically there's 7 people that are criminals, but they're on a tag, and they have to go and do not national service. What is it? Community service. Sorry.
Community
national
service.
So they're all like under guys and they're all different characters. And they say this in it and they pick them out. You've got a really right wing kind of guy who's about our age, who owns his business and everything's about the foreigners, this, the foreigners, that. Then you've got a totally left wing woman of colour. See, I said that right, Trev. And actually, that's part of the conversation. Stephen Merchant's humour is brilliant. And there's a bit in it, when she's talking to the white right-wing guy, and the white wing guy says, oh, there's coloured people. She said, you mustn't say that. You must say people of colour. He said, I'll give you £1,000 and you tell me the difference. And the things like that I love. And, I love that kind of humour. And Stephen Merchant, you know, works with Ricky Gervais, wrote The Office. It's got that in it as well. So you've got bits of the humour of The Office. Thing. But what he's tried to do is make it into a thriller. And he's obviously chose Christopher Walken, which is a really obscure choice.
That's a big
Bristol,
thing, isn't it?
To That's see him in middle, bang, in a ghetto in Bristol, honestly, to see Christopher Walken standing in basically a ghetto in Bristol and just churning out lines like, oh, he could go and work on the cash tools at Tesco. It's just like, it's great.
The thing as well, from the trailer I saw, because I've heard a rumour, and I don't know if it's true, if anybody knows it is true or false, let us know. But I heard that Christopher Walken won't take a part unless there's a slight bit of dancing in it now.
Oh, yeah, he's done it. He's done it already. Yeah,
there's dancing, isn't there? Isn't it? Yeah, this is it. Obviously, there's no dancing in The Deer Hunter because that would make it a bit of a mockery. But there is, though, isn't there? There is. Of course there is.
Yeah.
Because when there is in the party, isn't there? The celebration.
No,
that
makes sense. They probably wrote it into it. No, it makes me think that.
Yeah, that's
true.
Well, you weren't a big star then, though, was you? That's an amazing film, isn't it? But anyway, carry on.
As I say, establishing in the first episode, it was vaguely funny, but they were trying to establish the characters. And then all of a sudden, it turned from kind of comedy, situation comedy with all these characters into a real gritty kind of violent kind of. And it's never been successfully done before, apparently.
No.
But they reckon that the people that have seen overall that it works. And I, when it got to the second episode and it hit it with a bang, I was into the characters and I really enjoyed it. And I didn't want it to end. And now I've got to wait.
Give that a go. I might do that tonight.
Definitely worth a watch. If you like Misfits, The Office, you know, Stephen Merchant's humour. I know Trev likes him.
Yeah.
Definite must watch. Sunday, I think it's on, no, it's not Sunday. So was it Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights? And it's on iPlayer at the moment. So please stream that.
I've got it. Yeah.
So Trev, your next choice, please.
Another old movie. The only reason is I was talking about it the other day, Misery.
Ah, yes. Very, very good.
James Caan, Kathy Bates. Yeah. Stephen King adaptation. One of the better ones. Brilliant.
Oh, actually, great movie.
I've always had a soft spot for James Caan because I was a big Rollerball fan when I was a kid. Yeah. It's so well done, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, Rob Reiner, great director. Just the atmosphere of it. Kathy Bates won an Oscar for it, didn't she? I think she did.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, I think she did.
And I think it's one of the ones that Stephen King actually likes.
Yes, that's right.
That's been done, which is a high recommendation for the film. It's great. An author has a car accident, gets lost in the snow. This lady finds him. She's a massive fan of him, nurses him back to health, but basically just doesn't want to let him go. Great film. Absolutely great. If you haven't seen it, I would have thought most people have seen it. See it again. Because it is really, really good.
Yeah,
and that's saying, because I love a lot of Stephen King's adaptations, either ones he doesn't like, I like. But that one, yeah, great stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, some of these films are ones you discover again. That's the sort of movie where I sometimes see it on there and I just think, do you know what? I'm going to watch it. I know what happens.
That's what I did.
But it's so well made and you still cringe at some of the parts. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great choice, great film.
Cheers, man.
My next choice is one of somebody we've spoke about a few times. I think it's one of his better movies, makes more sense than some of his movies, although it's still complex. It's a 2006 mystery thriller, and it's The Prestige with...
Good.
Christopher Nolan's, obviously, The Prestige.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale.
Good film.
Very complex movie about
David
magicians.
David Bowie?
Yes.
He's Nikola Tesla, isn't he?
That's right.
Very good.
Basically, two friends, fellow magicians, become bitter enemies after a sudden tragedy. As they devote themselves to the rivalry, they make sacrifices that bring them fame, but with terrible consequences. That makes it sound like just some kind of slight thriller, but I mean, it's got elements of sci-fi in it. It's got elements.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's really good.
Of time travel. I think it's one of his better films, just because it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. There's a high recommendation there. You want to watch? They should say that on the poster if they were going to like re-release it on a special edition and say, this is the movie that Christopher Nolan made that makes sense.
I think it does. I mean, Memento's great and it does make sense.
Yeah, good. Gives you a brain ache, but it's good.
It does, yeah. The Prestige is one I've seen quite a few times. And
yeah,
what was
I've
the other magician film that came out the same? Because that was
The Illusionist.
Edward Norton. Yeah, that's right.
The Illusionist.
That's a good movie as well.
I remember them both coming out and I couldn't really tell you which one I enjoyed most. I think The Prestige is a slightly better movie.
I think it's
movie.
More fun to watch, The Prestige.
Yeah, the thing is, because I'm a big Edward Norton fan, I tended to kind of want to like that more.
I think I did at the time. You know? But it's just it's not as good, but it's still very good. If you wanted to have a kind of period drama magic day, then two movies would do that quite well.
I think what it was, I think the same as you, I was probably watching it with Fight Club eyes.
Yeah, same as.
Edward Norton. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because I loved him so much in that. I wanted to like everything he was in, which, you know, doesn't work. Does it really?
No,
exactly. Film, shit. But
you'll find The Prestige on Netflix at the moment. If you've never seen it, please
good.
Do. If you're a fan of Christopher Nolan's films and you understand anything about Interstellar, then this one will be like watching Thomas the Tank Engine because it'll make a lot more sense.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's it for our recommendations for this week, Trev. And I think we've probably... Go on.
Very, very quick before you hit that button. Did we make that Cockney rhyming slang up ourselves or is it a real Cockney rhyming slang?
For which
to have
word?
A Thomas the Tank?
I don't think we made it up. I think somebody...
All right.
Unless
it's not official,
we could
though,
take credit for it, I suppose.
I'd like to. It was a good one, me and you come up with, Thomas the Tank.
It's okay. What context was it used in the first time one of us spoke it?
I think I probably said to you, don't watch that movie because it's a load of Thomas the Tank.
Oh, that's what it was it? No, he wasn't retiring anywhere for Thomas the Tank. No. Okay.
No. Although we did mention it at work when we used to work together.
I think we've just got time, Trev, for this week to bring back one of our old favourites. I think we've got time for a bit of the Dick of the Week, actually. So if you fancy some of that, let's go for it.
Yeah, go on, man. Yeah, I forgot about those now.
Our dick this week is Richard Burton and another Hellraiser, Trev.
Good man, good man. Elizabeth Taylor's dick.
He was twice dicking. Yes. I was going to say, that's not good. Dicking. Richard was obviously, with her twice, yeah.
Yeah, obviously Richard Burton's dick was so good that
she couldn't
Elizabeth
resist
Taylor
it.
Had to go back. Had to go back twice for that dick.
Had a volatile relationship. Again, Richard Burton, contrary, he's Welsh, isn't he? So
we
spoke about Richard Harris, he's Irish. Not many of these people are English, are they? They play a lot of... Because Richard Burton's known for the voice, isn't it? Not the programme that's on with bloody Tom Jones. He didn't turn around for him.
Richard Burton on there.
And now they landed on the planets. And, you've turned around for you. It's not unusual to be alone.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Yeah, Who would have believed in the year 2021 that I'd be on The Voice?
That's probably where he would be if he was still alive.
He probably would. Favourite dick moments for me with Dick Burton. Wild Geese, again with Richard Harris.
Yeah.
War of the Worlds. That will
that's our generation. That's his voice. Yeah, he's known for that from our generation.
Always.
Definitely.
That is War of the Worlds to me. Richard Burton.
Yeah, seven Oscar nominations.
He did, yeah.
So it's
Killer
amazing,
Mockingbird,
really.
Was that on it?
Was it one of his ones? Yeah, it's Cleopatra, obviously. Yeah. That was with Elizabeth Taylor, wasn't it? Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's it. Yeah.
He married Elizabeth Taylor in 1964. Maintained a volatile relationship, but as you quite rightly probably said, they included a remarriage because of his
quality dick. He always reminded, whenever I used to see, obviously not see him in the street because I'm not that old, but when I used to see him in an interview, he always come across as a well-dressed dick.
Yeah, he was always played the role of a kind of well-spoken.
Have you got some of
his films? He's a coal miner's son, but I suppose they all were in Wales, to be honest. Yeah.
So he was a dirty. Was he a dirty dick when he was young?
Dirty. He was very dirty dick. He was a son.
Dirty dick.
Do you know what his last movie was? He died in 1984. That's a clue.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, strange enough. Yes. Good. He was quality dick in that.
He was. Yeah. Again, it's a good one to finish on, isn't it? If you're going, it's not a great movie. Yeah. It's not. They're remaking it.
Oh, I don't know. I like it. Yeah, I like it.
It's epic. I like it because of that time. But we're getting into movie reviews again. It's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrong
I was going to name. I was going to. But his name's not Dick, so I can't talk about him in this segment.
No, don't talk about.
But, when we do like Dear John.
Yeah, Dear John. That was a good programme. Yeah, I like
Dear
John.
Yeah, it was, yeah. You like the soundtrack, didn't
you? We're going off again on something else. Yeah, you'll catch that on UK Gold very soon.
Back to Dick Burton.
Yes.
Name some of his films. You've got some of his films so I can just...
You can just chew the cud off.
I watched a really good gangster one with him, an old one, which was really good, which I'm surprised hasn't been remade, actually.
I'm Googling now.
I was thinking when I was watching it. Yeah,
You've got The Robe. I can't remember. The Sandpiper.
Manitou. Was he in Manitou? Or was it Exorcist 2 he was in?
Exorcist 2 he's in. Yes, I can't see that, but
Exorcist
yes, he was.
Heretic.
Ah, The Longest Day. He was in The Longest Day, wasn't he?
Of course, yes. Yeah, great movie. Love that.
Hamlet.
Love
that. Yeah, I'm addicted to that. I watch it every day.
He was a thespian dick, wasn't he, as well?
Yes.
Loved all that. Loved the arts, mate. Yeah, arty dick.
Yeah, so, The Robe... Yeah, Look Back in Anger, The Night of the Iguana, The Spy Who Came in from the Cold. Yeah, there is.
I watched that the other week.
Classic type.
Odessa Fire was in the Odessa Fire.
Again, known for his drinking, hell raising. Was one of the three, wasn't he? Richard Harris, Richard Burton, Dickie, and Peter O'Toole. And now I'm Peter No-Tool, the one-legged pregnant woman on the GLC. So, yeah, another top bloke. Anyway, one that you can kind of admire. You just don't get them kind of characters anymore. And if you do, they're Paul Gascoigne. They play football, I say.
Or Colin Farrell.
Or Colin Farrell, but who's now gone all goody-goody.
Yeah, and then they're ashamed. Same as Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Another pisshead.
Sorry, it could be a then top pisshead. Yeah, drinking in the
coach. Those two just carried on doing it. They didn't care.
No.
They just carried on.
So, Richard Burton, you are top dick. Again, you're top welcome dick, to our yeah. Hall of Fame of top dick.
Exactly, so, top dick.
So there you go, Trev, another dick that's highly missed and no one's ever replaced him, have they?
No. Three words, were Eagles Dare. Exactly. What a movie.
You don't need it.
War film. Actually, I'd say that's my favourite war film ever.
Yeah.
In that stage. Just pips Kelly's Heroes for me in the Battle of Britain.
Well, God rest your soul, Richard Burton. And thank you for being such a fantastic man.
Top pisshead.
Great voice and a good pisshead.
Love it.
With the other top pisshead that we've spoke about. Something about the name Dick gives you, well, like me, my name should be Dick.
Yeah,
hell raising.
Wayne
Dick. Yeah, that's what my name should be. We shall rechristen myself.
We shall.
But I think that's it for this week, Trip. We fitted everything in. There was no interview this week, so we managed to fit everything else in. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, please go to the website, leave us any suggestions, amlopodcast.com. Leave us a review if you don't mind. Leave us a voice message. We'll all play the best ones on the show. And I think that's it for the week. Trev, have you got a word for the week, Trev?
Incontinentia.
Thanks for that. Well, you can explain what that means buttocks. On next week. Is that what it is? Is incontinence, is that the same thing? Is it something?
Incontinentia buttocks.
Well, thanks a lot for that.
Message us and tell us from.
Okay, yeah, but you do that and you win nothing, but you get the kudos basically.
Of mate giving me.
Thanks for that, Andy Peters.
That's right.
Cheers.
Buzzy, buzzy, bye.
I'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.